Man, they've really messed up the vaccine stuff too, eh?
Jimmy, Mike's your mic is hot. Stop talking.
And the list goes on down the line. When the list goes on.
One day you'll learn how basic production works, Jimmy. One day you'll understand.
When I don't care, then I'm not going to learn. You know, what I mean?
I wish you did care about the programming in which we do on this website.
I don't say anything controversial.
Yeah, never have you done that.
No, it's the I don't list think so.
It's have the I list goes on. Give me your goddamn topics, Jimmy. I got stuff to do.
I don't say anything controversial. I'm pretty by the book, aren't I?
I don't care.
I think so. I would just see my mother's 82, and she got her first vax dose. And in Canada, they're delaying the second dose by 4 months, Sean. 4 months, Sean, in Canada.
Will you tell me what the fuck you want to talk about?
So I'm trying to work it with the local medical officials where she lives to get it sooner. That's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to work it.
Great.
Okay. Let's start by talking about, so I want to see if you're surprised by this or not.
Okay.
Are you surprised that Triple H admitted that he spoke to CM Punk less than 2 years ago? Are you surprised by that?
No, I'm not, because in certain environments he's pretty transparent, but the, oh, well, we haven't made him an offer because he needs to come to us thing is just bullish, stupid shit. Like, no, you're the company that is of the employee. Like, you reach out to people, you recruit people. That's a part of the gig.
Bruno Sammartino did not call them.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? The Ultimate Warrior did not call them.
Yep.
CM Punk ain't calling them for a job. Not unless he's really desperate. CM Punk's not calling them.
Yeah. So I completely agree with you there.
When I heard about it, I was on the fence, surprised and not surprised. I wasn't surprised because he did backstage.
Yeah.
And for me, that kind of opened the door a little bit. I was surprised because the bulk of his animosity going into the lawsuit was with Hunter.
Yes.
So that surprised me a little bit. It's not too dissimilar from when Hunter had to be the point of contact with Warrior and with Bruno because they didn't want anything to do with Vince at the time.
Yeah.
So I was kind of surprised just because of Punk's past animosity with Triple H. But I don't know. That'd be an interesting one. I feel like if Punk was going to come back, he would have by now. Yeah. And every day that goes by, that window of opportunity closes a little bit more.
7 years, man.
Yeah. And he's in his 40s now too, I think, right?
Yeah.
So, and he hasn't been in a ring. I mean, I've seen a little bit of stuff of him in a ring, but
for like TV shows and stuff.
Yeah,
sure.
Exactly. Like to get back to ring shape, like he'd have to really dedicate himself. So
and he'd lost a bunch of weight for MMA.
Yes. Yes. So I don't see him coming back, but you never know. Tell me about the bullshit story and where it came from with Hunter supposedly, allegedly telling the NXT locker room that they were bullied off Wednesday nights by AEW. Where did that come from?
Well, it was reported on Wrestling Observer, but Dave later clarified it. But by the time he had clarified it, I had heard from like six people that said that bully line did not happen.
Right.
It was mainly focused on Peacock and how the move to Peacock was a positive move and how there's much more exposure and stuff like that. But Dave did correct it on Twitter publicly because it made the rounds big time. But he didn't say anything about being bullied or being pushed off. He said that hopefully people are more worried about the show than worried about the viewership and the ratings now.
Yeah, and from what I understand, he's still using the narrative about the Raw lead-in, even with his own locker.
Yes, that was used. So they said, oh, having it on the night after Raw is great. And I'm like, what? That's so ridiculous. The idea that somebody would just camp out there. You know what? I'm going to watch six straight episodes of Law and Order SVU, then six of NCIS, and just hang around waiting on NXT.
And what? he's also disrespecting his audience because he's suggesting that his audience has a short attention span. Yeah. And that having the extra night in between hurt viewership for that reason. That's essentially what he's kind of saying. So whole thing's bullshit. One other Triple H note that I wanted your thoughts on. So AJ Styles in the past has been pretty public about his desire to have a match with Triple H.
Yes.
And Triple H on the NXT media call was asked about a WrestleMania match with AJ Styles, and he said that he's open to it. Obviously, at this point, we'd be looking at the very earliest at Mania 38 in Dallas next year. Next year, AJ Styles is going to be going on 45. He turns 45 after Mania. Yep. And next year, Hunter is going to be turning 53.
So AJ Styles pushing 50.
Okay. So I want to clarify something because I've heard you say this on a bunch of podcasts. What I said was, once the second number hits a six, then I thought you're pushing the next one. Because I've heard you say stuff like, oh, he's 34, he's pushing 40. No. Once you hit the six, like 36, then in my opinion, you're pushing 40. That's what I said. I've heard you say on podcasts that I'm not on, I've heard you say so much bullshit about, oh, that person's 33. You know, Jimmy says they're pushing 40. Absolute fallacy. That's not what I said. So I wanted to make that clear.
It's lyrics in a song, Jimmy.
Is it? Like
yeah, quite frank. I mean, yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, the Trevor Strong thing. He sang about it. So,
yeah. So, anyway, what are your thoughts on a potentially 45-year-old AJ Styles taking on a potentially 53-year-old Triple H at WrestleMania 38 in Dallas at AT&T Stadium next year?
Yeah, sure. Why not?
How do you think Hunter would be? Because he keeps himself in great shape. He's dropped weight in order to you know, remain agile and help his joints and stuff. But he's still going to be going on 53 with a lot of years and wear and tear on that body.
They just always have to manufacture a story because Triple H ain't on there anymore.
Yeah.
So it's like, if they have a story that makes sense, then sure. And if AJ wants it, that's cool. But, you know, AJ pushes for a lot of things. I love that he's not shy about that. I love that he's like, Shawn Michaels, Undertaker, Triple H, come on, face me. Let's do it. Oh, and there's not a lot left for him to do, but I mean, if there's a good story, I'd be all for it.
It'd be such an easy thing to book. All they'd have to do is they have some kind of a run-in in the locker room or whatever. And maybe they have some kind of conversation that gets a little heated. And Hunter makes a comment about how he built his career working in a garage.
Yeah.
Something like that. Next thing you know, Samoa Joe is there to come to AJ's defense. Jeff Hardy, if he's still around, can come to AJ's defense.
Yeah.
Maybe they get Dixie Carter on the show. There's ways they can do it, but the problem is it requires creativity. And Mr. Man by then will be going on 77. So that ain't happening.
Yep. Yep. I don't disagree with that at all.
Are you surprised that Will Ospreay defeated Kota Ibushi for the IWGP World Heavyweight Championship?
Yeah, but no, I'm not surprised because New Japan has made some puzzling booking decisions over the last 16 months. Like, this has been their opportunity to really accelerate, and instead they've made dumb decision after dumb decision after dumb decision. Like the Great Okan push and the double gold in general, combining the belts and then getting rid of the old lineage, instituting a New Japan Strong title. That was why you started the U.S. title to begin with. And if not that, send the IC title over there that has history. They've made so many puzzling decisions that, I mean, Will Ospreay's a great wrestler, but a lot of people just don't want anything to do with him because of some stuff in the past. So I don't know why they went this route. I really don't. Kota Ibushi had a lot of buzz about it too.
Yeah. See, I really thought, and not to say that they couldn't still do this because they could, but I really thought that New Japan was going to protect Ibushi and AEW was going to protect Omega, and they're going to wait for things to open up a little bit and then try to get that done. I thought they were going to do that. Yeah. And again, they still could. But some of the shine now is off Ibushi because he had just won the title a couple months ago to lose it to Ospreay. So I personally was surprised that it happened, but I guess we'll see where it goes. Now, I want to ask you about WWE post-Mania. Normally, WrestleMania is the climax of stories. The Raw after Mania is when they begin the new programs. That's normally what happens. Might not see it this time. Maybe we're going to see Braun Shane again. We're going to see Roman Edge again. We're going to see whatever. But normally, that's what they do. Here's my question. So Roman Reigns was on Ariel Helwani's podcast promoting WrestleMania, and Roman kind of off the cuff said that he would smash Daniel Cormier, the former UFC champion. Yeah. Cormier, of course, is a massive wrestling fan, and so Cormier basically said, I'm in. You know, he said, I'm 42 years old, and I'm beat up, but I'll whip your ass, and I'm in. My question for you is, do you think at any point we might actually see Roman Reigns, Daniel Cormier in a WWE ring?
No.
No, you don't think so at all.
No. I think that Vince probably thinks he learned his lesson from Cain Velasquez, even though I think that Daniel Cormier would be much better promo, much better in the ring, much better.
Better everything.
Much better everything, much better visibility
than
that. And I don't think he'll do it. I don't.
I would attach myself to DC in a second.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? In a second, if you could. He's got such enthusiasm. He's got respect for the business. He's a longtime fan, almost a student of the game. He knows the lineage. I'd be all over Daniel Cormier if I had the opportunity. So what programs do you think make the most sense in WWE post-Mania for the top guys? What program do you think makes the most sense for Roman Reigns? What program do you think makes the most sense for, let's say, you think Lashley's going to retain. So what program makes the most sense for Bobby Lashley post-Mania?
Karrion Kross is probably going to get called up and going after somebody. Maybe Daniel Bryan, maybe Edge. That would make sense. Nobody's ever over. They never book anybody strong, so nothing really makes sense for me.
Yep.
Maybe Bayley for Bianca if she wins, because Bayley has beaten Bianca.
Mm-hmm.
I think that would make a little bit of sense. But other than that, it's quite literally whoever they pull out of a hat and say, well, they're getting pushed this month. I mean, look at the past, Jimmy. When Dana Bryan won the title, they're like, Kane. Let's go with him. They got history. Yeah. But after Becky and Seth won, they were like, Corbin and Lacey, let's go with them. Lacey's never wrestled on the main roster before. Let's go with her. So I don't know.
Okay. Well, Mike Johnston reports that Money in the Bank is going to be on May 16. And so that's going to. Okay. But if it is, then that's going to be that'll play into storylines a little bit. Which briefcase do you think is most likely to end up on which brand? Men's and women's.
Women's should be on Raw because they need an excuse to keep somebody over when they book them like dog shit. Men should probably be on SmackDown.
Very interesting. Okay, the last thing I want to do is I want to talk about Zicky Dice for a minute.
Okay.
And I'm doing this because I just want to help the guy out a little bit. But my first question for you is, I don't know how much he's just working, and you might know.
He's very good at that.
I know, and this is why I want to ask. So I saw a clip of him on the Wrestling Perspective podcast. And on that podcast, he was practically begging to get signed by AEW. And my question for you is, how much of that might be him somehow working? Obviously, he knows more about his status than I do. Mm-hmm. And so how much of that is him working? Because I got to tell you, with all due respect to Zicky Dice, as an employer myself, that's not the way to do it. What you're doing is not the way to do it. He might think in his mind that Tony Khan's going to see that and think, I'm a go-getter. I have hustle, you know, I'm motivated, all of that. Tony Khan's going to think that reeks of desperation.
Well, when I see some of the people that end up on Dark, I don't know why Zicky Dice has not been on there.
And I'm not suggesting he shouldn't be. That is really nothing.
No, I get it.
Right.
I get it. I understand it's more about the approach than, and
yes,
and you've spoken in the past about how you think that isn't good for negotiating leverage or anything.
Terrible.
Like that.
It's awful.
But yeah, I think he is making his desire known. Also, he does not look like a conventional wrestler.
I get that. I wish that he, and again, I don't know if he's ever going to see this, and he doesn't know who I am. He probably doesn't give a fuck. But as an employer, I think it's a really bad move. I think that it reeks of desperation. I think that Tony Khan is either going to have no interest in you when he sees that, or he's going to lowball you, and he will never feature you. You will never get pushed in AEW. And so I would just not do that in podcasts. Like, I don't think that's a wise thing to do. What do I always say to you, Sean? What's the benefit? Sure. Zero benefit to basically begging a promotion to sign you on a podcast.
I disagree.
Really?
Because then if he does get that chance and he gets over, that story is there, that social is there. There's a lot of that. There's stuff to play off of. There's stuff that AEW is very good at using. And telling that story on there that Zicky Dice wanted this job and he got ignored and now he's got it and now he's a star and he doesn't look like all the other stars. You sit there and grimace, but that's a natural story.
It's not going to get him over.
Easy. I just sat there and explained it to you. Like, no, yeah,
it's not going
to
work.
WWE's done that with Sasha Banks, how she tried to get booked at indie promotions. They wouldn't book her. And now look at her.
Like, Zicky Dice ain't Sasha Banks, with all due respect.
How the fuck do you know?
You know.
No, you don't know. Nobody knows who anybody can be.
So let's see how it plays out. Let's see how it plays out. I mean,
that's fine. I'm saying nobody knows what somebody can become. Nobody knew that Stone Cold Steve Austin was going to become Stone Cold Steve Austin. Nobody thought Rocky Maivia was going to be The Rock. Now, I'm not saying that he's going to be any of those, but you can't just write somebody off with no cable television exposure and say they'll never become this. They'll never.
No, I'm not. That. I'm not writing them off at all.
They wrote off Daniel Bryan as having no charisma.
Sure, I'm not. This has nothing to do with Ziggy Dice's talent. I'm not writing him off at all. All I'm saying is
Lynch was out there dancing like a goof on NXT.
Yeah,
like,
but my point has nothing to do with his talent or presentation. That has nothing to do with my point. My point is, I think it's a mistake to very publicly beg a promotion to sign you. I think that's a mistake. If I was in his shoes, I wouldn't do it. And that was my only point. I think it's a mistake. I think that he's really decreasing his value.
Sure, but you're implying that something creative can't emerge from such a thing.
Is it something that's going to get him over, like at a significant level?
I didn't say that will get him over.
Yeah.
I said it can be used if he goes there, if it does happen, and he does get over, or as a tool to help him get over. Look how bad he wanted this job. Look at the sacrifices he was willing to make, et cetera, et cetera. That is the element of an underdog story, being ignored and being unconventional and all that.
Sure,
you can roll your eyes and shake your head, but that is commonplace. Not being the WWE guy has been a story that has been told over and over and over again in WWE. That's what they built the Daniel Bryan thing on, being a B-plus player.
I don't disagree with you, but that's not a story that's going to work for the Ziggy Dice character unless they change his character. Otherwise, that's not a story that's going to work with the Ziggy Dice character.
And that's what AEW does. They change characters. They change personalities. Nobody is set and linear to one thing. This is not WWE where you're a trash man. Well, you're a fucking trash man, and that's it. And you're gonna talk about Matt Riddle going around making high jokes all the time. And he's one of the lucky ones. He gets to say stuff.
Believe me, WWE creative is a different animal and a different conversation. I guess all I'm going to say is on this topic, we can agree to disagree because I think it's a mistake. I think he shouldn't do it. Yeah, I think he shouldn't do it. And I don't know the guy, but if I could, I'd be like, dude, this is not going to help your cause. I don't think you should do it. You're decreasing your value. I wouldn't do it.
Wouldn't do it either. I don't disagree with that. I wouldn't do it, but to imply that there's nothing, that there's no possible benefit, that there's zero benefit from it, well, I don't know about that. I can't sit there and say there's zero benefit to it when I have seen people do this and then get booked by AEW right afterwards. Like, that happens all the time.
We'll see what happens.
Alex Gracia did videos calling out AEW wrestlers and saying, book me for months. And now she's getting booked all the time. So, I mean, there's benefit there.
We'll see what happens.
List goes on. Until next time, guys.
We're out.